Pulling up swing
tech show.
Good evening. Welcome to the Linux Swing Tech Show, Year 2.
You're still practicing for Halloween there. Good evening.
Yes, still practicing. Oh, you must have dropped off the stream because we lost the connection. Is that you?
Was it me?
No. Yeah. No?
Lost the connection.
Yeah, well, we got six people on there right now.
Oh, yeah, I turned off XMMS over here.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Uh-huh.
He's the culprit. Flaming. Flaming Raymond.
Yeah.
Can we get some promo?
We got promo, yeah, sure.
Promo.
You want a promo?
All right, we'll be right back.
Promo now.
Promo.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or I wonder if they would review my product? Or why don't they talk about this? Or maybe I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Hi, this is Del Marnaco all the way from the frigid lands of Minnesota. And when it's too cold to go outside, I listen to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, Alan?
The fragrance.
I'll punch you right in the face with my farts. We don't have, the fan is going. The fan is going because it smelled like dog pee in here. Again.
Why is that exactly?
You know what? We had the dog out all day yesterday, and the damn thing still crapped 3 times upstairs, twice in this office.
You know, I took the dog out all day yesterday, and it's an amazing thing. He pissed inside today, right?
Yeah, what was wrong with that one there?
No, it just smelled like a couple. It was over the weekend. I don't know where the dog went to the bathroom in here, but I'm so sick of cleaning it up. So sick of cleaning it up. All right.
You get one of those like little green machines, the Bissell things. I use those for the cat puke. They're great.
He needs doggy diapers.
No, we don't have. Do we have a Bissell thing? No, I don't know. We have.
These are
like
little handheld things on it. They're great.
Is it like a dustbuster with a?
It's a dustbuster, but they're powered.
With the. Dustbusters were powered.
Well, no, this one actually plugs into the wall.
Okay.
I burned out two of the other ones.
Yeah. You know what? I remember when those things were the rage. Remember when the Dustbuster first came out? I was like, oh, it's so great.
Dustbusters are great,
And they run for like a couple of months or something, and then they don't pick crap up.
Well, because they were always on charge, and the battery would like, get like 2 second run on it, and then it would think it was dead again.
You know, I think we actually do have one that plugs in, and it's got like a long handle attachment to it.
Oh.
There's another one that has the... what's it called? The rug cleaning attachment, where you could actually put rug cleaner in it.
Okay, yeah.
And squirt the rug cleaner out, and it'd be just like a little mini.
Yeah, that's what the Bissell thing is.
Carpet shampoo.
Yeah,
right.
That's what the Bissell thing is, but they're great for like for just those sorts of messes.
Usually I just come back in here and I find where it is and then I urinate on top of it, so then my
cancels
smell,
out the smell.
Yeah, takes it away. It's like
that
you got
the small animals aren't coming around anymore.
What's that?
That and the small animals aren't coming around anymore.
It's a territorial
thing. You know,
thing.
An interesting thing I heard that people actually go to the hairdresser and get human hair from the hairdresser and put it in their yard. It keeps the squirrels away.
Pissing around your yard does the same thing.
No, you know, that actually, that's not
true. I heard
true.
It just shooting them with a BB gun.
That is not true.
You know?
That's more fun.
You stand out on your porch, you pah.
I used to pee out in my parents' yard all the time.
It only kept the deer away, damn it.
No, it didn't even keep them away. Didn't keep any, but there was guys watching me from the.
That's why he was out there pissing in the lawn.
That's why we called Dan. That's why we called Dan Squirrel Boy. You know, you know why we call him Squirrel Boy? Because he always run around trying to get everyone's nuts in his mouth.
Oh, thank you. We'll be here all week.
Yes.
You a funny guy.
Don't forget to tip your barmaids.
That's right.
That's not nice.
Boom, boom.
Oh, now I'm gonna cry. So, what do we have for news today before we start talking about some other stuff? Figured to give Alan a chance to flap his gums. Because he's
really
the only one that didn't post anything to the blog today.
Yeah, I know. This is I only saw it this evening, and I figured I'd be over here in an hour
excuses,
or so anyways.
Excuses, that's what it is.
It is, but it's as best I have. I really don't have anything. We were talking about earlier on the show how the... that computer crash in LAX was due to Windows computers.
That's right.
You mean the new TV show had a computer crash?
No. I think it was the airport itself. But
yeah, big view. For those of you who are not in the United States, LAX is a gigantic airport in
Los Angeles,
California. Los Angeles, California. And they just had, there was an article, I don't even know where, was it on Slashdot or something like that?
I think
that?
It was on Slash. I read it earlier today. I unfortunately did not copy it
There
down.
Was an article that said, and I quote, that LAX upgraded their traffic computers from, their air traffic control computers from Unix to Windows. Upgraded, folks, from Unix to Windows. Now, here's the catch. They had a little problem the other day because their upgraded Windows computers apparently require you to reboot them every couple of weeks in order to keep them clean and error-free and running.
Cost-saving measure, they fire
yes.
the guy who gets
money,
to reboot
money,
them.
Exactly. Money, so money. You must, in order to run the Windows machines as air traffic control, you must reboot them. And when evidently the maintenance guy or the maintenance routine was forgotten, and they didn't reboot these computers, and of course what happened was they crashed, and you know. And my friends, is a story.
Now, were they sold that as a package? You know, in any the whole thing where they were putting this together, did it come to them and they said, well, you know, you got to reboot these, or is that something? They
You know what? I would like to find out whether that was something that actually was. An advertised part of the deal, like in order to do maintenance routine, you have to, you know, or if that's something that was hidden away and they weren't told about until the last second or something. Because I can't imagine, for something as important as air traffic control, that you would upgrade to a system which required downtime. You know what I mean? That just makes no sense at all. That's a pretty important function, you know, and it's kind of... I would think necessary to have that running all the time, and
that, you know, that's
buying a system that requires a reboot is just kind of silly.
That's just, you know, and you know that kind of goes on the heels of that article that we were talking about before on the Register, if was posted a couple days ago actually. A report from Gartner came out that they claim that Windows is the biggest beta test in history.
Well, the other one was also where it's there's a 400% increase in viruses targeted like this year alone.
Of course.
So.
And how are they able to afflict that on us? Windows. That's how.
Windows.
XP specifically, I guess, is their new target.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you about talking about security. This is great. You want to? I found this security hole in our systems at work that you could drive a friggin' truck through. Okay? We invested in a product called Fortress, which bills itself as completely locking down the workstation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest problem we had was when you completely lock down the workstation, you can't get the antivirus updates. So you got to go jump through hoops so that they can update the antivirus. Well, anyway, I'm sitting there working on trying to, you know, fix a machine, and I brought up Internet Explorer. Now, they're not supposed to be able to go to the C drive, right? But if you type in the C drive, you can get to the C drive through Internet Explorer.
Right.
And not only can you get to the C drive, but you could delete files from the C drive.
How the hell do you delete files through the Explorer?
Through Internet Explorer. You fire that up, you type in C:// and you get in there. You could do the same thing with Firefox.
No kidding.
Or, you know, another browser, but the other browsers don't allow you to delete files add. You know, I mean, you could download something probably. I didn't try to download. But Explorer, since it's integrated into Windows, allows you to delete files. So here's Fortress, which locks our system up. And you can go in there.
A web browser that allows you to delete files.
You can delete files. Not only can you delete files, you can add files to it. You know, you can download something and copy it in there. You can execute
programs from it.
So technically, you're not supposed to execute any program unless it's on your launcher. But you can go through Explorer to that program
and get it from
click
there.
On it, and you can run it. So now, it's locked down enough that it doesn't allow you to hack the registry. But I was able to go in and delete files out of the Windows directory.
Oh, man.
Or add files into the Windows directory. So you can technically add something to run on startup under the Windows directory. Now that, to me, for an application that bills itself as called Fortress and protecting your Windows system, if I can go in there and copy and edit and execute programs I'm not supposed to because of Windows Internet Explorer allows me to do that, that's a problem. Now, I don't specifically say that's a problem with Fortress. It's also a problem with Windows, that it shouldn't allow you that kind of capability. That's bad. Now, I didn't set this up. I'm on coming in on the, you know, end product here. So you're trying to figure out. What's funny is, right, get this. I can go in and do that through Internet Explorer and all that, but I can't get into safe mode. It will not let me into safe mode. So that's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, I thought. Big security hole.
That's crazy, man.
Still fighting viruses and everything. Actually started implementing Service Pack 2. Which brings me up to another point with Service Pack 2. Brings down the new Internet Explorer. Okay. Updates. Still doesn't have PNG support in Internet Explorer. And CSS support is just as shaky as
just
it used
as bad
to be.
As it was before.
Now, there is a guy, Dean Edwards, I think his name is. You can get to his site. It's www.dean.edwards.name, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. He had put together a few years ago, it was about a year, I think, a little collection of CSS hacks called Internet Explorer 7.
Okay.
Have you guys heard of this yet?
No.
It's really interesting stuff that, you know, for instance, the box model. Problem that Internet Explorer has with box models, transparencies and PNGs that it has. He put together a collection of utilities. It's called Internet Explorer 7. I put the website on there. And if you apply this like a style sheet, now it's all JavaScript based, and applies the fixes, the hacks. It allows you to trick Internet Explorer into doing what you want it to do, which, whatever side of the fence you fall on with regards to that, like, you shouldn't have to hack through all these hacks in there to be able to get something to work properly, or, you know, hack it to death until it works the way you want it to work.
Right.
What it says to me is, if this guy has to put this stuff together, or anybody has to put this stuff together to make something function properly in what's quoted as the number one browser in the world, then there's a problem, right? A serious problem. Well, anyway, I applied the IE7 hacks so that I would be able to use PNGs with transparency. And the interesting thing is, PNG transparency only has a problem on Internet Explorer on Windows. On a Mac, not a problem. Don't ask me why, but it's not a problem. So, when Service Pack 2 was released, it broke that compatibility. So what ends up happening now is a weird thing with the older version of IE7. You know, he's releasing version 1.7 now, I think it is. Yeah. The older version, it worked fine. But what happens now with the Service Pack 2 and the new version and updates to IE, you get a PNG, you get the transparency, but then you get a little X, box with an X, like you can't load the image, and you get the text of the image behind it. So whatever you said with your text, it comes through. It's like now you have a transparent PNG image that's there, but somehow the text is over top of it, but the image is behind it. Really weird. Neat. Really weird effect. So I decided to upgrade to the IE7, the newest version, which is... in beta right now, version 1.73, I think it is, in beta. And when I put that on there and got it running, it fixed the problem. But I keep getting error messages on all the pages that I applied it to that says, you know, it's trying to execute unregistered code or something like that. A Windows Internet Explorer security warning comes up, and it crashes Internet Explorer on Windows 98. It just crashes it.
The safety feature.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it, you get into this loop that when you crash Internet Explorer, it says you want to, you know, restart it. And you say yes. It brings up the same page, crashes again. So then you have to go in, and if it's the home page, set for the home page for the browser, you have to go in and change the browser. Well, anyway, I had to remove the IE7 hack, unfortunately. So instead of having transparent PNGs, I had to make all my PNGs with the same color
as
the
background.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's a shame that you have to do something like that. Now, PNG has been out for how long?
Forever.
And CSS is now going into version 3. Internet Explorer still doesn't support stuff in version 1. And there's no plans that they're going to update Internet Explorer until Longhorn comes out.
Because they haven't been able to figure out how to, like, make money off of it yet.
Right.
To buy their technology so that, you know, they can change it and make money off of it.
Yeah. It's really, I think it's a shame. You know, props to Dean Edwards for doing what he's doing, trying to do what he's doing, make stuff compliant. You know, what are you going to do? But
I think he should just have a big note on his website that says, you know, link to get Firefox.
Oh, you know what? He's got a nice little, speaking of that, you know, if you want to actually talk about that, he's got this nice little,
you know, because why promote fixing a Microsoft product? That's what I don't understand.
Right. He has a little hack there that if you're using Internet Explorer, you can apply this to your website. It's all done, I think, in CSS. If you're using Internet Explorer, you go to your website. When you leave that person's website, it brings up a pop-up window that recommends that you use a better browser next time you
come
back.
There you go.
So, you know, he is definitely, you know, he doesn't use Internet Explorer. He proudly states that he doesn't use Internet Explorer. But,
gee, that's good.
You know, as a web developer, it's really frustrating for him, just like it is for anybody else. But speaking of that, James, I think it is, on the chat said, or you could just use a real browser. And you're right. You could just use a real browser. Now that Firefox has been released, pre-released for 1.0, 1 million downloads in 4 days?
Yeah.
No, 1 day. 4 days or 1 day?
I think it's 4 days, but it was more than 1 million. It surpassed 1 million.
Right, that's fantastic.
They wanted 1 million downloads in a week or a 10-day period or something like that, and we got like 4. So it's you know, that's hot stuff right now.
Yes, it is.
And one more download for Thunderbird, I might add, and another person at my work that I got using it. So,
I'm sorry, 1 million downloads in 100 hours.
So there you go.
What, less than 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's about
great.
4 days.
4 days.
That is great. And what's even
kicking,
just as great, speaking of Mozilla Firefox and how it's bleeding its way into the internet community, I've been playing around with Webalizer again.
Yes.
And I've turned on the user agent features on Webalizer, And I have it monitoring.
But in order to turn on the user agent features, you got to turn them on in Apache, right? In the log.
Right. I did that, too, in the log.
You don't find that that slows your response down on Apache at all?
No, I haven't noticed any problems. Okay. I have it. I'm doing it at work, and I'm doing it here. I don't have a lot of statistics yet. I got like a day's worth of statistics, but what I found interesting at work. Now I monitor both internal and external hits, and I filtered out all the bots.
Right.
So just looking at external hits, non-bot related, that are going to actual pages, not pulling images or any of the CSS styles or anything like that. Looking at the user agent statistics, I'm seeing that 44% of the hits over today were from Internet Explorer. The majority of the rest of them are all Mozilla.
Awesome.
Mozilla-based. So you're looking at close to half the browsers are non-Internet Explorer browsers hitting our site. Again, you have a whole list of Mozilla and Netscape as the top 15 browsers.
Where does that put that on your stats? I'm looking at stats right now. I'm trying to find it.
Whose stats are you looking at?
Mine on one of my websites.
Do you have it enabled?
I believe so. It's all automatic. So.
Do you have it enabled in your Apache?
As far as I know, it is, because it has referrals and stuff in it, too. So.
I have it. I enabled the agents tab in the configuration file for Webalizer, and it shows me the
refers. Actually, user agents. There we go. Yep.
Yeah, user agents.
I got it. By golly. Something.
Now, you know, out of all the other, there's a ton of different, it pulls it apart like Mozilla, version number for Mozilla, what operating system it's running on, all sorts of different things.
That's damn slick, man.
So the majority of it looks like a good portion of.
Ooh. Hey, look at that. Right at the top, there's a thing that says agents. If you click it, it brings you right to the right freaking spot.
That's right. You didn't notice that? Stupid. I like how they say it's Microsoft Internet Explorer on there. Internet Explorer. So they got
you know what?
Right.
I'm looking at mine. It doesn't have one. Not one Microsoft. Mozilla, blog lines, feed validator, W3C validator, links, no news. Mozilla. X11U, Linux, PPC, Macintosh, blah, 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 OS 10, something.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't see a lot of Internet. I don't see any Internet Explorer on mine.
Of course, that brings me to, you know, the one that I'm actually looking at is a website that I would like to pass along to some people in hopes that somebody might actually use it, including Dan and Alan, who have not posted to it yet and are supposed to. Because they're slackers and they need to, you know, I might have to start cracking a whip. And that is PPCLinux.info. PPCLinux.info. And this is for those of us people who actually run Linux on their PPC, Macintosh or IBM or what have you. And none of us have any experience with running Linux on the PPC version of the IBM version of PPC, but we all have Macintoshes and we all happen to run Linux on them. So I started up a little site that's my foray into web programming with PHP and MySQL, and PPCLinux.info is the result. Please check it out. Send us some stuff to put on there. It's got this really nice search engine. If we get some stuff on there, it'll be a good utility. You know what I mean?
So one of the interesting things.
Dan.
A depressing
post some
statistic.
Stuff, Dan.
Yes. A depressing, Dan. Depressing statistic Alan. On my Webalizer is that the one of the files that's getting the most hits in the past 24 hours has been Alan's RSS feed.
Alan's
RSS feed has gotten the second most number of hits.
Alan, you stud.
Besides one?
No, it's gotten 57 hits in the past.
Stud.
Actually,
you,
18
Alan.
Hours, I think it is.
What do you got on there now?
I don't know.
Nothing then, that I see when I hit it, you know?
Yeah.
Still the same old stuff from, like, last Thursday, right?
Now, so Alan,
You got me on that.
I hope that encourages you to post more.
Yeah, and people are looking at you.
There's a lot of like blog lines hitting it every couple hours.
It probably is has a lot to do with blog lines.
Yeah, because I know it's on there.
Dude.
But
I think four people subscribe to it. So.
Alan is the dude.
I'm still trying to figure out who the other two people are. The four people that subscribe to that line. I'm trying to figure out, besides you two guys and myself, who's the other person.
Somebody's got to be hitting it, man.
Yeah, I'm sure blog lines does hit a lot of. But I just wanted to let you know.
I'll work on getting some stuff on.
Yeah,
there.
That's like cool or something, man.
Woohoo! Bum, bum, bum. So that's Webalizer. If you're running a website, and you're not using Webalizer just to get some statistics, it's so easy.
Oh yeah.
Actually, we have a Novell web server running Apache, and Webalizer doesn't really work that well on the Novell end. So I just have my Linux box there, run a script every night that goes in and parses the logs, puts it out, dumps it onto the server, the statistics page. It's really simple to set up, and I have it doing what I want. I do, like I said, I monitor inside and outside traffic. You know, on my box here at home, I monitor. The traffic, and then I split it. I just want to see what kind of traffic that bots are generating, so I have a separate statistics for them.
Right.
But yeah, fun stuff. Definitely, Webalizer. Check it out. Let me put the URL on the chat for everybody who is not.
Yeah.
There it's yet.
MrUnix.net/Webalizer.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. For the archives.
Woo! Ba-dum-bum.
All right. Good stuff.
I like the Webalizer thingy myself. Now, actually, you know the Webalizer one that I was using when I was talking about the PPC Linux?
Right.
The cool thing about that is, like, it's grabbing all these statistics, and it was... Like, when I installed Yellow Dog on this computer, I told it... And, in fact, I don't think I did. I think I installed Apache afterwards. But anyway... I installed everything on there to be a web server as well, and like this is all on there. The Webalizer was all on there and running. It runs in a cron job every night. Everything was all set up, but it was just it's one more plus for Yellow Dog, man. They're really cool with that kind of stuff. It just works, yeah. And of course, I have Webalizer running on the other one. That's why I was so impressed. I have it running on my main box. But, of course, I had to set that all up myself. So, Yellow Dog just had it already running, which I thought was pretty wicked,
Yeah. So, yeah. And speaking of your PPC info dot...
PPCLinux.info. See, no wonder he hasn't posted to it yet, man.
He can't
even remember
dude,
the
I
damn
word.
I've sent him emails. I've called him. Dan, when the hell are you going to... Nothing. Can't even remember. PPCinfo.linux. What was it? PPCLinux.info. If you have a Macintosh that you are running Linux on, you need to hit this site. Why? There's nothing on it yet. But there will be if we all hit this site and put some cool stuff on there, man. I promise. It's a good information repository. And I have good links on the side, too, for, that sort of information. Not that anyone knows besides me, but, it is there. Really.
No, I've noticed.
I plan on posting stuff to it. It's just been a hellish 3 weeks. Now nothing compares to the floods in Easton, but I understand that. But, just trying to get things going there. They have not, That's all I got to say. Eventually, I will definitely get around to it. I promise.
All right. Well, speaking of that, it's guess what time it is?
Again. It's that time. No, the tech show.
To play sucky music. BB. Yeah, we're gonna play sucky music
with
this
my
time.
BB.
People.
What do you mean sucky music? I like
suck
this group.
Music. Yeah, it's the group. The group's name is Boys Suck.
That's it.
Boys Suck. And they say they can't take Mandy Moore. Boys Suck, I Can't Take Mandy Moore. It's odd music, strange music that Dan likes, but we're going to play it anyway.
Take it anymore, for my emails and phone calls are ignored. Anymore, I can't take it anymore. I bought tickets for every show on your store. Anymore, I can't take it anymore. So I try to change the channel on the TV. Hypnotized by the sound, it's better than Christina or Britney. And if Christina or Britney ever showed up at my door, I'd tell them, no thank you, I need a girl with more. Anymore, I can't take it anymore. My friends say you're too young. Anymore, I can't take it anymore. Our love has been in 43 states. And if Christina or Britney ever showed up at my door, I'd tell them, no thank you, I need a girl with more. Anymore, I know you're busy on tour, and I just have to sit around.
Hey, we're on, and like none of us were even paying attention.
I thought you had a promo lined up afterwards.
I didn't have one lined up afterwards, but I can sure play one if you want.
Why
to.
Why not?
We're too busy talking the motorcycles.
Yeah, we're talking motorcycles. It was really cool.
Hey, jump in there. Yeah.
In a world still hostile to open source, where tech radio shows are all about that other operating system, three maverick groups decided to go for the gold.
Hey, we are here at episode...
This is episode four.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit harsh. So, yes, the introduction is sadder and sadder.
Oh, my God.
Woo!
The C programmers, we started zero.
Really, really close to this.
Mike again. Just to kill us all. Anyway.
Now, two shows are missing.
www.noderadio.org.
Can't find the server.
No! Where's that episode 5 of Slug Radio?
Why?
This fall, take a journey with the boys from the Tech Show across oceans and continents.
Attention all passengers.
Drop your pants and grab your ankles.
Now boarding.
Damn, that's a big finger.
Oh, gotta love that Homeland Security.
To find and rescue the missing shows.
Hello? Slug Radio?
Slug Radio?
What they find will shock you.
Damn, that's a lot of bottles.
You hear that?
What?
Sounds like thunder.
Yeah, what is it?
Be prepared to be blown to the back wall of your computer room.
Holy shit! It's Mozilla!
Linux Link Studios presents a Screaming Little Girls production. Alan Metzler.
What's that smell?
Link Pheasanton.
Hurry, put it in there.
And Dan Washko.
Woo, doggy. Get over here, Alan, you sweet pie.
Fight the big lizard in
Mozilla X, the Linux Link Tech Show. Mega Knockout, big battle for missing Slug Radio and Slug Radio shows.
One man was thinking.
Oh, Dan caught one.
I got another. Quick, light me up. We'll hit this lizard with the ass cannon.
And two men will find a special kind of love.
Will you two get a room? And three men will find the shocking truth behind it all.
Quick, to the blogs!
Come on, Alan. Get moving.
It's not a new month yet.
But will they find Lug and Slug Radio? Mozilla
Dan,
X,
who's this
the
that's
Linux
playing?
Link Tech Show. Mega Knockout, big battle for missing Lug and Slug Radio shows. Coming soon.
Hey, maybe they're in here.
The names.
Dude, look them up. Look them up and find
them. Will you two get a room already?
No, I keep bugging Dan because I'm listening to the music, right? On the promo, and I'm like, Dan, who's this band? I like the metal at the end. It's pretty cool.
That's I'm pretty sure that's Nightmare by, I got to look on my list. I forget.
Look them up, man. See if we maybe we can hook it up and play it at the end of the show to go out on or something like that. It's pretty good stuff. I like it much better than Boys Suck. So, you know, hook me up with that metal, man.
You know, one more thing I wanted to say.
No, hook me up with the metal. Damn it.
I know how I can find it out.
What's that?
Hold on. I have it under the directory I built everything under.
Oh, well,
that'll help us out there. Anyway, Dale Marinko?
Marinko? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Mangle his name.
Sorry, Dale.
He had sent us an email about what
Dale,
we thought
sorry, we're mangling your name
on
here.
Microsoft's new strategy, get the fax strategy, now no longer really targeting just Linux, but Novell,
right.
IBM, HP, I think is in the list.
Uh-huh.
And so, what we thought about that. Now, I'm going to give my 2 cents, and then I'll let you guys talk, because I'll go find the crowd. And I think
I have no 2 cents, so stretch your cents right out there, bud.
I think...
same here.
what very little I've actually read on the stuff that's filtered through the sites that I look at, because I haven't really had much of a chance to even get on my computers at home or at work to do any of that catching up on the current events. But I do believe I read the article off the Register when it was posted last week, or skimmed through it. My first thought was, well, you know, I think it's a great idea that they're targeting actual businesses now instead of just Linux as a whole.
Right.
And at the same time, I think it's kind of foolish on their part, because when they just targeted Linux and just like this, it was a huge mass. Instead of pinpointing, when you just chuck something in this huge mass, not a lot of people really get up in arms and respond. But now when you're targeting like a business, like IBM or HP, that's going to provoke them to respond. And what one of the things that Linux really hasn't had is a lot of business-backed PR. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's been some... stuff, you know, IBM has a couple ads or whatever. But now it's going to provoke these companies to actually get into the PR battle, just like Microsoft does. It's like poking the bear here. Now they're not just going to be fighting a community or talking bad against a community who just comes back and says, yeah, blah, blah, big deal. And you find this out on NewsForge or the Register. Now they're going to, I think, you know, when you provoke or spread this kind of information, like they're doing across the wide array of business magazines, technology magazines, you know, general computing magazines where you see the ads, Trustworthy Computing, Get the Facts and all that, and just attack Linux in general. Now that they're going to start attacking businesses, that's going to provoke these businesses to come back and, you know, attack Microsoft products and say why their solution is better than a Microsoft solution, which in the, you know... In advertising,
sure, but, you know, a lot
really
of these people have been doing that hard anyway. Like IBM's been doing it, pushing pretty hard.
They have been, but it hasn't been to the extent, you know, they haven't been targeting Microsoft's campaign. Nobody really has.
No, but they've been pushing Linux real hard.
They've been pushing it, but now you have, you know, instead of Microsoft throwing the grenade into the general community, they're attacking certain people, which is going to provoke a retaliation. I would like, and I think you're going to see, more of a commercial-based response to what Linux is, I mean, what Microsoft has been, the FUD that they've been putting out there. So I would hope that that's what's going to happen, that you're going to have a lot more commercial PR going behind Linux than we've seen in the past to attack this kind of campaign. No, that's and another thing I was wondering about today. I was thinking it's rather odd that I don't know that if Microsoft is going to target HP and IBM, who are also partners of Microsoft, it seems like an odd battle to fight. You know what I mean? Because here you are, you have, and it's no doubt that a large portion, if probably not a huge portion, of HP and IBM's hardware sales are fueled, you know, with Microsoft install workstations, desktops, to both business and consumer market. So now you have Microsoft.
Except for their enterprise stuff, which is where they make, you know.
Right. Microsoft, who is kind of also dependent upon these manufacturers to distribute their products, is, in a sense, attacking them for distributing other products, but yet, at the same time, partnering with them to distribute their products.
Sure.
So they're saying IBM's solution is a bad idea. How do you really? I mean, it's kind of like a disjointed fight. Is there any other market that does that?
IBM's solution is a bad idea, except for when you get IBM desktop, it has Windows on it, which is probably why it's a bad idea, you know?
But, you know, is there another market that does that? I mean,
no.
You had Microsoft and always was at odds with Sun. And Sun did have a version, or there was a version of NT that ran on Spark.
Right.
But Sun's sales didn't really have a significant Microsoft portion, I guess.
True.
But is there any, can anybody tell me? Has there ever been...
Yep, and now
such a
now Sun and Microsoft are holding hands.
Right. Has it ever been such like a marketing strategy where you go about attacking your partners? You're attacking your partner solution to further your agenda, which depends upon your partner,
right,
to begin with.
Well, that's, you know, I think that's
like
really
$30 billion in the bank. You can do those sort of things, though.
It's I think it's really a matter of tactics. And it definitely is a Microsoft tactic to act that way. A Microsoft SCO does the same thing. It's just has nothing to do with business or anything else. It's a money grubbing, you know. It's a money grubbing, vicious kind of, you know, kind of thing. I guess.
Attack your friends' profit.
Yeah.
But how do you? I mean, how do you go about doing that without eventually shooting yourself in the foot?
Well, look at SCO. SCO has done that to everybody.
Yeah, but
know?
Look where SCO's
they're,
going.
SCO's entire income at this point in time is generated from, you know,
lawsuits. Yeah.
I mean, granted, they lose three quarters of it back, but, you know, their whole, as far as I'm concerned, their whole income is generated from lawsuits. Lawsuits and strong-arming and extortion.
And superior technology.
Yeah, sure.
but look where SCO is. I mean, they're tanking, aren't they?
I don't know.
They burned that
low level a long time ago, and it's just they're just like trawling along now, you know.
But I mean, how much longer are they really going to last?
As long as stupid people keep paying them money.
As long as
the court system keeps hearing them, you know, the courts don't throw them out. They keep listening to their argument, which is, you know, another really, really big problem in America these days right now is the court system needs a serious overhaul.
Well, first it's the patent system, now it's the court system.
Well, that's part of the court system is the patent system, you know. They need to start throwing that crap out.
But, you know, I'd be interested
people
to see
patenting
where
an idea. Come on.
Their campaign takes them. And, you know, they also want to increase the coolness factor of Microsoft. And honestly,
they'll have to work hard for that one. I have never,
ever really seen any coolness factor at all in Microsoft.
I don't see people going, wow,
what's your desktop theme look like for Microsoft? Well, it's just the same old thing with a different color.
It's the little clouds. What, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, I don't see any excitement coming out of there. I mean, you got excitement from Apple. You got excitement from Linux. You got excitement from FreeBSD. But where is the excitement in Microsoft?
Oh, come on, Longhorn in another, what, 2 years?
But is that really exciting? I mean, look when XP came out.
It is to the people who write about Windows all day long, yeah.
But is it? I mean, we sat in on those things at the LVCG.
Right.
Where they had
the Microsoft meetings.
What is it? Sonal was her name. Came down. And they show you something in Windows XP. And they're like, isn't that great?
It was ME that they were demoing at the time.
Wasn't that great?
Isn't
and
it
they're
awesome?
Like all clapping. And it's like, well.
I'm like, yeah, I've been doing that in Linux for like 2 years now, you know.
big deal, you know. Apple does it. Everybody else does it. You know. Yeah, what's the...
Look at this. You can download pictures from your camera.
Give Windows enough time, and they'll eventually reinvent Unix.
Sure.
And patent it, too.
And patent it, too, yeah.
Except for they're going to reinvent it in the Lindos fashion, or in the Linspire fashion, as a root user running all the time.
User.
So, you know, what the hell is the sense of having it if you're going to do that? I mean, that's just dumb. But that's my...
But you can get the Windows...
That's
my
opinion, I guess.
Windows letters on eBay right now.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. $500 with 5 days to go, right?
Yeah, something... Yeah, it was $560 or something
the
like
Windows
that.
The Windows what?
The old sign from Windows.
Oh.
You know, there's somebody auctioning it off on eBay.
How about that, eh?
Nifty.
Hey.
Super-duper.
You know what I wanted to talk about? Two more...
Crap.
Versions of Unix. One that I've heard a whole lot about, and one that I haven't really heard much anything about, that I'm looking for some information on.
Plan 9.
The other one, the first one, the one that I've heard a lot about, it's because I've been reading it in people's weblogs. And it's called Ubuntu Linux. U-B-U-N-T-U Linux. Ubuntu, I guess that's what it is. Ubuntu.
Where's the link?
That sounds as close
something,
as I come up with
something.
It, yeah.
Where's the link?
It's ubuntulinux.org, I think. I'm looking. I'm looking on the weblog I was looking at first. So.
Wait, is this a form of Unix or Linux?
It's Linux. It's.
Oh, Linux, okay.
Yes, it is.
I thought you said Unix there for a second.
Let me paste the thing in there. Do you got it on it? Did you paste it in the IRC?
Who, me? No, I'm waiting for you, because I can't understand what you're saying over there. I put it in there, and I'm not getting anything. I'm waiting for you to post.
You're a scrug. You know that?
Oh.
Dang, he's supposed to be on top of this stuff. Anyway, listen. Go to a friend of ours' website. His name is John O'Bacon. www.johnobacon.org. Check out his latest comments. He talks about this Ubuntu Linux that he's been digging for the past week or so. And it sounds pretty good. And let me post that link.
Forget it there. It's link. I put it on freaking time.
Well, that was the Ubuntu. I'm putting John O'Bacon's stuff in there. Okay, there's his link in there. And there's another one. Read that. He gives a really good review of it. Sounds like it's pretty cool. It's a Debian-based Linux, but I guess it's got, like, a decent installer and stuff.
Another version of Debian.
Yeah, but if you put a decent installer on it, it probably is pretty cool. And then there's another one.
Why can't Debian put a decent installer?
They're working on one, I think. I can't remember. What is the name of that other installer they were using? I can't remember. We're working on a different installer.
Yeah,
hopefully
I can't remember
a big
what it
difference.
Is. I haven't been keeping up with that one.
Yeah, hopefully it'll make a big difference because, boy, let me tell you, if it's one thing that Debian needs, is a good installer. They also need to knock them software Nazis out of there and let people install things like Vim and Pine and stuff like that without having to, you know, do the rigmarole. Other than that, Debian would be an awesome distribution. That's, you know, the two things that irritate the crap out of me on there. It still wouldn't be as good as Slackware. No, don't get me wrong. Slackware is the best. It's the oldest. There's a reason for that. It hasn't gone away yet because it's still the best. Anyway, check out those links. I just pasted them. There are three of them, right? Pretty much in a row. Dan pasted one. I got together two. They are a couple reviews of Ubuntu Linux. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sounds really cool. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about is Mepis Linux. Is it Mepis or Mepis? And I want to know if anybody's done anything with this or heard anything about it. I think I've heard some vague references to it a couple of times, maybe, on different reviews. I couldn't even find any good reviews, like, real quick.
Give me a link.
It's link is coming up.
But so is the end of the show.
Shut up. The reason I'm asking, it's www.mepis.org, M-E-P-I-S.org, by the way. The reason I'm asking is because my dad emailed me today, this morning, and told me that indeed is the version of Linux that he's using. Previously, he was not. He went through SUSE a while back and something else. Maybe he did, it was either Red Hat or Fedora Core 1 or something a while back and didn't like either one of them. This one, he says he's getting along real good with and real well with. And it's something about that's because he doesn't have to do any command line work or something. I guess it's has a lot of, like, the GUI utilities and tools and things, and he's getting around on that pretty well. So I was just interested to know if anybody out there had done anything with this and, you know, what kind of frilly, flowery, crappy kind of thing it is. Because, you know, I'm going to have to put it on a machine now and try it so that when my dad calls me, I can give the tech support.
So you can do the tech support, yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, find out a little bit about it first. Because, you know, I really don't like the flowery Linuxes with the, you know, all the GUI tools and stuff like that. Because for me, they're a hindrance. They're in my way a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because a lot of the GUI ones, you know, if you try to change the thing manually, as soon as the first time you open up a GUI one, it overwrites all your stuff.
A says Mepis is pretty nice. I don't know what A stands for, but say A.
Hi.
Mepis is pretty nice. A. Very easy to install. A. Okay, A. Thanks. A. I wonder if A's Canadian.
What is it?
Are you Canadian, A?
What is what is Mepis based off?
Seabridge.
Is it completely its own distribution, or is it?
I don't know. I really don't have any information. I would like to try it though. Like I said, to get.
Is it RPM based or is it Debian package?
Darned if I know, man.
Is it Slackware package based? Whoa.
I really don't know. Like, I had, you know, 4 seconds to look this up before we started, and I really didn't read a whole lot on it. Other than the fact that I know my dad is trying another version of Linux out. Which
it
goes to prove how cool my dad is.
It uses apt-get. So
does it? It's a
Debian package,
thing.
I believe. So it is based off of Debian. Hey, you know what? It's great that there's all these different, you know, derivations of Debian. That's pretty cool, I think.
Hey, whatever. You know, I'm just happy that he's, like I said, I'm happy that he's given Linux another shot. Eventually, he's going to roll over. And every time I go down there, he keeps telling me that, oh, no, my Windows is running just fine. Right? But you sit there and watch him, and he's got to reboot it, and he gets the errors pop up in the thing. And, you know, and I keep reminding him that, like, you know, hey, Dad, like, my computer at home has 130 some odd day uptime. You know what I mean?
Now is this your dad? It's not. He's not the one with the baseball.
No. That's my father-in-law. Yeah.
See, I wish my dad would. You know, because he's always
my father-in-law. My father-in-law has to run Linux in order to get on the internet. Now.
I mean, what was he complaining about last week? He's like, he hits me up. He's like, oh, when I put in a Windows disk and it starts to install, and then it gives me an error message, and it reboots, and then it installs, and it keeps rebooting and going through. I can't do a damn thing after that. What do I do? I'm like, I don't know.
Use the Linux box. That's
it's like,
do.
And then I tried to install Windows 2000. It told me the disk was corrupted. It couldn't install.
Man.
I'm like, well, why don't you just try installing Linux on it?
No.
I don't understand. He's got. There's like three machines. There's the Slackware box running like a top ever since it's been installed. No problems. Then there's, except for the hardware issues, then there's the Windows 2000 box, which is a dual boot system for when the one system goes down. You could dual boot over to the other one and then restore the original. Then there's my mom's machine upstairs.
It's a dual
upstairs.
Boot Windows system, right?
You dual boot Windows 2000, Windows 2000. So when one goes down, the other one's still usable. It's less of a downtime, I guess. But then again, you still have the downtime when you have to fix the first one or the second one, whichever one goes down. Well, I guess you just wait till they both go down. You wipe it all clean.
You wipe it all out and put Linux on.
So you get double the amount of time. That's the way you double your uptime with Windows.
Sure.
Or actually, your longevity. You if you do a dual boot of Windows 2000, when one goes down, you switch to the other. But if you get a large enough hard drive, you could do like quad boot. And you could do like, yeah. That's the solution.
Gig drives.
Companies should ship. What's the lifespan of a computer?
Depends on what kind of crappy equipment you use to build it with.
Right. You figure and a computer's obsolete the moment it comes out of the door. Generally speaking, we'll give it 2 years, right? What's the lifespan of Windows? Well, based upon my father's usage, you're lucky to get 3 months.
Right.
So if you got 3 months, that's a quarter of a year. So if you have two 200-gig hard drives, partition it 50 gigs apiece, and do quad booting on each of the, you know, and each one has a version of Windows 2000 quad booted.
Right.
Eventually you just open it up and swap hard drives.
And you have a little switch on the side that when the first drive, when you get to the fourth version of Windows on the first drive, and it dies, you just flip the switch, and it starts over with the second drive. So then by the time you get to the eighth version of Windows, it finally dies, you go buy a new computer.
Buy a new computer.
Start all over again.
There's an idea to patent.
How about why not just...
that? You know what that is? We should patent that idea.
No doubt, yeah. Because someone will take that someday. How about, you know, why don't you just convince your dad to let you install Linux on his computer and then... or run VNC through, you know, or run VNC, run Windows through
VMware
or something like that, or
you know,
Box.
VMware costs a lot of money.
You got a copy, man. We have that evaluation license.
Yeah, but that doesn't. That's old. It doesn't work on the new. It doesn't. Doesn't the new? The new old versions don't work on the newer versions of.
What about? Because you know we have. Box or something. Is it called Box? B-O-C-H-S.
Can you run Windows under Box?
I don't know. But, you know, that's a couple of things. Because my understanding, like, if you're running Windows under VMware and it crashes, you just, you know, click on it and pops it right back up.
Maybe for Christmas I should get him Win for Lin.
And
it's like $70.
Yeah.
That way we can install it, and then he can have a Juno or whatever.
Yeah, he could run it under Linux, and it starts up really, really fast. If it breaks, he just shuts it off and restarts it. It starts up really fast, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Pair PC. Patrick is saying pair PC. I don't know.
It's crap.
Something like that.
It's
Listen, guys,
crap.
We're over time. And I know that Alan had so much to say today.
I've been in one of those. This whole week has been just like, get up, go to work.
You're just going to
get up, go to work.
Write your thoughts down, put them on your blog. Everybody reads that.
Yes.
As we found out today. Everybody reads Alan's blog, so we just, any extra thoughts you have, just stick them on there. And we will catch you all next week for episode 52.
Yep. Which would have been
the number two episode of
our full year episode if we didn't take those 2 weeks off.
Well, you kind of have to. You know, I'm not going to come over here and, you know, harass your family while you're opening up Christmas presents or whatever. Not that that wouldn't be fun, but, you know.
You'd be jumping right in the mix. You'd be like, let me help you, Dad.
Woo-hoo!
Give me that. Let me see that. It'd be like
bugging your kids. Hey, Paige, can I help you open that?
You'd be like stealing the batteries. Barbie. You'd be stealing the batteries, you know, so you could take them home and use them in your gifts.
Yeah.
What
too gifts?
Bad for you.
What gifts? Who are you kidding, man? I got to come over here so I can live vicariously through you.
More gifts. More
Dad's
money.
Dad's going to have those iPods for us for Christmas, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
baby.
I'm gonna get. I'll cut out a little picture of an iPod. There you go.
I have this little thing at work. It's a... I forget where I found it. When the
he's got a picture
mini
of an iPod pasted to a Secrets box.
it's very close. It was a when the Mini came out, somebody made like this paper foldable one.
Uh-huh.
It's an actual size one. So I've been leaving it on my desk. You filled it up with like 30 business cards. It was like actual size. I've been leaving it on my desk, and people keep coming over and going, "Do you got a Mini?"
Jeez.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, what was that in? What magazine was that in?
I got it off the web. I don't remember where it was, but it was this little paper cutout thing that you just folded.
Yeah, because I think
I've been tempted to
like Entertainment Magazine had that.
Dude, you gotta if somebody steals
it. Put the link on your blog. So I want to fold what I'm sticking on my desk. I want to track exactly how long it takes to get stolen.
I'll have to dig it up because I've had it sitting there for a couple months now.
I'll fold it all up and I'm going to take it out on the call floor and I'm going to sit it on one of the tables to find out how long it takes to get stolen. Put the camera on it.
I have one more thing that I wanted to talk about. Just take a couple minutes. O'Reilly's Safari.
Yeah, that's right. You're doing it now, right?
I just started it today. I've been trying to find a time when I can actually take advantage of the 14-day free trial before rolling in. So I figured I'd start it today because I mentioned it. It looks like I'm going to be able to get work to pay for it because I'm going to be getting stuff for work. The general gist of it is O'Reilly makes available basically all their books in electronic format, and there's also a couple other publishers, Rocks and a few others, that have their books up there.
Sure.
And their Safari bookshelf is like the lowest price is $14.99 a month for a 10-shelf bookshelf. And what you do is you can go in there and check out any book you want in their list, and that goes up on your bookshelf for 10 days. Most books take one shelf. Some books take two. I don't know if there's a three-shelf book. Like Unix Power Tools takes two shelves. I guess it depends on the size of the book, how many pages in there. And you can increase your bookshelf and get other features on there added onto it. And, of course, that comes with more... an added price. So for $14.99, I think you get a basic 10 bookshelf and pretty much be able to search your code library. But if you go to like the max subscription, you get like a 10 bookshelf, 5 free download tokens where you can download certain chapters that they make available in PDF format so you can keep them, and then you can search their code and I guess knowledge-based library. You're not just restricted to the code. You can add tokens, you know, for like $5 a piece or something like that throughout the month. You can increase your bookshelf up to, I think, 30 bookshelves, you know, slots, if you really read that much. But if you buy a computer book, like, once a month or once, you know, every couple of months, think about it. Used to buy a lot of O'Reilly books, and I figure, well, the way my habit has been is I'll buy something, I'll start using it for a month, and then I'll get hooked onto something else, I'll go out
right
and buy
back
it
on the crack, and it just goes right down the toilet.
So, you know, like the LDAP stuff. I bought the LDAP book, and I was reading it, and then, you know, the next month I'm into something else. So I could pull that stuff down after 30 days. I can knock it off my bookshelf, put something else in place of it. And it's a lot easier when you're going from here, from home to work, to take your books with you if they're all in electronic format. You know, you're not sitting there, oh, damn it, I forgot that book on Flash. Now, you know, I got to figure out how I'm going to, I was reading that. So I could just pop open Safari and check it out. So I'll give my report back of how much I'm liking it next week, if I don't like it or whatever, when I actually start using it. So, hey. Yeah.
I would like to know that.
I'm
like
sure
it. Everybody else would like to know as well.
And it's one of those things, you know, I like, one of the downsides is I like to take a book to the crapper with me.
Right.
Because unless I have a computer in there, which I don't, or take a laptop.
Well, that's what I mean, you know, take a laptop.
Don't want to sit in the crapper with a laptop. That's the only downside.
How about an LCD screen that's mounted underneath your sink?
That would be nice.
In front of your hopper.
little fold-out keyboard.
That would be nice.
Clicky, clicky.
That would be nice.
There you go.
You got pieces of laptop around here all over the place.
Yeah, I'm sure we can rig something. That's what I'm thinking. I'm sure we can rig something up, you know?
It's another patent.
Yeah.
That's another patent.
Let's go for it.
The laptop, the crapper laptop.
Yeah, the crap top.
Oh, man. Dun,
we need the industrial one for the crap on.
Yep, the crap top. Okay, is that it? Are we done?
Yeah,
we got to be done. It's like nine after. You know, my wife yells at you when you take too long. You know that, don't you? I get home and she's, you guys always go until a half hour afterwards. I love you, hon.
Ho, ho, ho. Green giant. I don't know.
I love you, hon.
Oh,
I'm coming home soon, really.
You know, we still haven't seen a new episode from Lug Radio or Slug Radio.
No, but they're supposed to do something either late. I guess it's kind of too late this month, right? Late this month, or they said in early to mid-October. So there should be something coming up soon, I'm thinking, right?
I hope so. So, and I haven't put any more blocks of music together. Because I haven't had a chance, and you guys haven't sent me any blocks. So what I think I'm going to do is...
I have one for you.
Gee, there you go.
You told me you had one 3 weeks ago, and I still haven't received it. Yeah, so what I think I'm going to do
it's
is...
It's my home.
I'm just going to keep, you know, playing all the tech show shows until...
I think that's a good idea.
Until we get some actual new stuff on there. Maybe I'll try and put in the Lug and Lug Radio, Slug Radio shows. In there too. You need to mix it up a little bit. Until
I think that's good. Hey, you guys that are actually on the IRC channel right now, you think that's a good idea that we'll play a bunch of different tech shows? You think that's? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so it's
I like to listen to some of the old ones, you know.
And you know, another thing I'm thinking about doing is going back and listening to them and indexing the tech shows.
Now that would be cool.
That's what we really should do that.
That would be cool.
We didn't mention last week about the year review show.
What's that?
Remember that promo I put together?
Did I work so hard on it?
Remember that promo that I put together that piggybacked on your initial promo? And the beginning promo then extended to like 5 minutes.
Oh, it was longer than that. It was like 8 minutes.
It was like horrible. What I added on there was everything you said just repeated in a mono.
Still have that. We'll have to play it sometime.
We should definitely. Let's think about that. Oh, that was terrible.
It was dragging on and on and on. I mean, mine's bad enough. It's like a minute something, right? And then Dan's is like 4 minutes or something like that. I mean,
mine was only 30 seconds.
Yeah. But that's good for you, though, you know.
Yeah, well, you
that
learn.
That is a lot
now.
Of talking
you learn.
For me, yeah.
You learn.
We're working you into it, you know, a little bit.
But definitely.
I figure another year or so I'll be, you know, up to speed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Alan's putting together his own show at his own house.
Okay.
And he'll come over here one day and be like, I'm taking my mixer back.
Nah.
Screw you guys.
Yeah.
I'm taking my mixer and going home.
Bastards.
Nah.
Douches. My mixer. That's when I'll have the dog crap on it.
Yeah.
Okay, and we got to do Skype. We got to at least try and get Skype going
next
week.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Yeah, because I've had it plugged in for like the last 3 weeks. And we just never get around to giving it a try.
Maybe before the show next week, we can give it a whirl with somebody out there if Patrick is going to be...
Patrick's going to be our guinea pig. He just doesn't
know
yet.
He's going to be on before the show starts, like maybe 8:30.
Yeah, so we can...
We can start testing
it. We can do some calls and make some tests and stuff like that. Yeah.
And also, don't forget, this weekend is the Lug/Tech Show barbecue at Patrick's house.
Barbecue/picnic thingy.
Patrick/beer bong. Well enough, he was gracious enough to host it, which we're very thankful for. And check out the what is it? Which forum is the information listed in?
I think it's on the Lug. Is it on the Lug forum?
No, it's on the Tech Show.
Is it on the Tech Show one?
Okay. Tech Show forum. Great. Thank you very much, Patrick. It starts at I think 1:00.
Yes,
but more information will be up there. So if you're in the Lehigh Valley area. You know, we'd love to have you come join us.
Yes, indeed.
Or you can fly in from the United Kingdom.
Sure.
Oh, one last thing for the... who is it? On Lug Radio. If you go to Lug Radio website, there is a link they talk about episode 12 was the last one. The story of Birmingham Flash Mob.
Yes.
Okay. That link doesn't work for me. It says it's forbidden to access radio.
Doesn't work for me either, yep.
So if you're listening, who was it, Matthew? Revel? Revel? Yep. You know, and I'd love to hear what that says. It's been up there for a while. I have never been able to listen to it. Just throwing that out.
Fix the link. Fix the link. Come on, Matt. Fix the link.
We got to go because Alan's got to get to bed.
That's right.
Link on.
Link on. Yeah, you picked him. Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening the Linux Link Tech Show. This is episode 52. Please join us again next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States for episode 53. Bye.
Linux Link Tech Show. Linux Link Tech Show.